eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring. Hearts are yearning for you. We long for you. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come out your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hear the sound of hearts returning to you. We turn to
welcome to this online recording of worship scheduled for August the 16th, 2026, here at St. Stephen's United Church, where we meet on the unceded territory of the Qualicum First Nation. I'm Robin Jacobson, and I'm the lead minister here, and it's good to have you joining us online. Of course, we would love you to come and join us in person, if that is at all possible, if you are local or close by. We would love to meet in person, but if that's difficult, or wherever you are, know that you are welcome. It's good that we're able to meet in Jesus' name. One of the ways that we are able to remind ourselves of Christ's presence always with us is by the lighting of the Christ candle. We do so remembering Christ's promise that wherever two or more are gathered in his name, he's with us. We know that he's always with us, and the hallmark of Christ's presence is always a peace that passes all understanding. And so now may that peace of Christ be with you. Take a moment to own the wholeness that is yours, the shalom, the peace of Christ be with you. I call Fiona to come and lead us in a call to worship.
Friends, Jesus calls us to listen and to understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles us, but what comes from the heart. We come with our real selves, laying our true thoughts and actions before God. Bring your heart to the Lord. Let God shape your inner life and renew your spirit today. Let us worship God in spirit and truth. And let's pray together. God of mercy and grace, in gratitude, we pray to you today. We are grateful for your presence in us and with us always. For your great compassion in removing our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. Make us clean and pure in your sight. We open our hearts and minds to your truth, Holy One. Cleanse us and lead us in your way. We pray in the merciful name of Jesus. Amen.
The good news of Jesus Christ is that we are perfectly loved. We are not perfect in terms of who and what we are. Of course not. We have all sorts of imperfections. But we are perfectly loved and perfectly forgiven, with nothing in the entire of the universe ever able to separate us from that reality. Holy Spirit, rain down on us now for us to be able to embrace that awareness. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Holy Spirit, rain. Again, Holy Spirit, rain.
My school buddy's house was the kind with a front room. You know the kind? You know those kind of homes? The front room was immaculate. All the good furniture was there. There were heavy curtains. There was a lamp that has never switched on. There were lace doilies. There was polished wood. I can still smell the polish of the polished wood. Nobody ever went there. That was the room that was meant to prove that the family was respectable. They were proper. They were good, tidy. But it was the rest of the house that told the real story. The kitchen table was always covered with homework and half-finished crafts. The sink, I remember, with the balancing dirty dishes, one on top of one another, overflowing onto the counters. The laundry basket in the side of the kitchen that was overflowing onto the floor, always with all sorts of old sports clothes and smelly stuff in this laundry basket. I remember the family room, the kind of family den with the scattered mismatched cushions and dogs. There were always these nervous dogs, lots of them, who were shedding hair in all sorts of places. It was a home, you know, where there was a lot of angst. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of fear. This laconic father that used to skulk around with a frown and people would avoid him because he's probably going to be in a bad mood. And this secretive stepmom who would be hovering in the shadows of her bedroom most of the time. I remember asking my friend, what's with the front room? This house with all of its issues that were going on. What's up with that, you know? And he was saying, no, that front room is for showing. It's not for living. It's just for showing. In today's text, as June reads for us from Matthew chapter 15, Jesus is speaking to a people who spent their whole lives polishing their front room, making the front room right, working so hard to keep the outside clean, working so hard to make sure that they were following the rules, avoiding contamination, appearing holy and righteous on the outside, while inside, well, all sorts of flaws were allowed to continue. And Jesus says, but that's too bad, because that's not what is real. What is on the inside, there where it's messy, that's what's most real. Because that's from where transformation happens. There, inside. The real spiritual life, our cleanest living, happens in the less than perfect, actually lived in spaces of our messy lives. There where we are struggling. There where we are not always proud to show off what's going on in our lives to other people. That's where Christ is focusing. That's where the real interest is, right there. There where we actually feel things. There where our reactions come from, our struggling to cope. There where we have our hopes. There where we continue to harbor our fears. Our concerns on the inside, the places that we usually don't feel safe to show to other people. That's where Christ is focusing in today's text. Listen for how bluntly Jesus is doing this. He just goes there, speaking directly into those circumstances so people could get it where his focus actually is. Stop polishing the front room. It's helping nobody, he is saying. Go to where the messiness is, because that's where God's work is focused. That is where healing comes from. our reading, Matthew chapter 15, from verse 10 through to verse 20, read for us by June.
He then called the crowd together and said, "Listen and take this to heart. It's not what you swallow that pollutes your life, but what you vomit up." Later, his disciples came and told him, "Did you know how upset the Pharisees were when they heard what you said?" Jesus shrugged it off. "Every tree that wasn't planted by my Father in heaven will be pulled up by its roots. Forget them. They are blind men leading blind men. When a blind man leads a blind man, they both end up in the ditch." Peter said, "I don't get it. Put it in plain language." Jesus replied, "You too? Are you being willfully stupid? Don't you know that anything that is swallowed works its way through the intestines and is finally defecated? But what comes out of the mouth gets its start in the heart. It's from the heart that we vomit up evil arguments, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, lies, and cussing. That's what pollutes. Eating or not eating certain foods, washing or not washing your hands, that's neither here nor there." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
When Jesus is speaking to that crowd in Matthew chapter 15 and says, "Listen and understand," he's inviting them and us into making a profound shift, a paradigm shift in our thinking. He's overturning an entire religious system that has been built in the Torah from Genesis all the way through Deuteronomy on external purity, on rule-keeping, on the fear of contamination. The Pharisees believed that to protect people from breaking any of what they called the mitzvot of 613 rules that God speaks of in the Torah, Genesis to Deuteronomy, they needed to do what they called set the fences. they could spell out in hyper detail what you needed to wear or not wear, or eat or not eat, or who you could mix with, who you needed to avoid. And so Jesus just speaks directly to them, speaking plainly to them through the disciples, saying it is not what goes into a person that defiles, but what comes out of them. It's not the externals that matter nearly so much as what is happening on the inside. Our clean living is not about external rule keeping. All of that stuff out there, it's not about what we touch, eat, or encounter. It's not about protecting ourselves from contact with what's going on around us. It's not that. However much we want to do that, however easier, much easier it is to do all of those things and somehow to feel righteous, it's not about that. Our cleanest living is about our paying attention to what's going on the inside. It's about our tending to the inner life. Here, inside, our hearts, from where our words and our choices and all of our actions flow. That's the source. That's the focus of Christ's grace. Teachers like Richard Rohr often remind us that Jesus consistently moves us from our fixation on the stuff of external religion to the stuff of interior transformation. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing right here in this passage. Shaking those disciples and those who would listen to what he's saying through those disciples to the core, bringing them right down to what matters most. Our clean living is not about having our front rooms arranged just right, appearing holy for others to admire, as it is about coming to live out from an awareness of our truest self that we are discovering in Christ inside of us. It's about us coming to live from the in Christ God image within all of us, an image that is never threatened by what's on the outside. Once we come back into touch with what's actually going on inside of us, cleansed from all of the dross and all of the layers that we pack around that, we have an identity that is not threatened by anything. Now, the disciples were very worried by that kind of teaching. And so in the text they say, they're going to be offended. The Pharisees are going to be really offended by what you are saying. They feared how Jesus had now offended those rule keepers, and that they were going to have to face some kind of consequence for that kind of attack on external rule-keeping teachings. Their response indicates the extent to which they were fear-driven and the extent to which they, probably like most of us, were really captivated by the externals of their religious life. It's so much easier to go there than it is to go in here. It's so much easier to pretend that we've got all these externals in place than it is to actually allow ourselves to deal with the real stuff that's going on inside of us. But Jesus chooses not to play those external games. He just doesn't. So he speaks really bluntly. He acts like a kind of smoke alarm, sounding like a siren of all the things that we allow to happen on the outside because of what's going wrong on the inside. He lists them for us. He names that kind of external rule keeping, those who would keep those rules and those who would teach those rules, as blind guides. In so many words, blind guides. The external rules that they put out there may kind of be useful to the extent that they are useful, but they are unable ultimately to lead us into any of the holiness that we are all long for. John Philip Newell warns that the purity codes of any external religion can often even obscure our awareness of the original blessing that we all have made in God's image and in all the holy names of God, God's creation, we get lost, stuck behind this whole facade of externals, external religiosity. And Jesus looks right through that, not impressed by the external rooms. Jesus longs to clear away all of the clutter so that we can become aware again of just who we are, that original, beautiful place inside of us. He teaches that the external body is never the solution, nor is it the problem, because it's what lies within, way beyond the absurdly false front room veneers that we try to create. It's our perfectly imperfect inside stuff that's the focus of Jesus' teaching, our inner heart. That's where God's presence meets our humanity, our place of deepest awakening. As James Finley would put it, and I'm paraphrasing him, I know that, but our cleanest living is not about avoiding external contamination, nearly so much as it is about tending this inner sanctuary with reverence, because it's what we cultivate inwardly that inevitably becomes what we express outwardly. It's who I come to know that I am, the indicative, that leads me to the imperative of what I want to do. That's the order. I know James Finley speaks for all of us as he names that order flowing outwards from what is most real on the inside. Any gardener would know that. That you can go to work on the external plant and you can cut and you can prune and you can do whatever you like. But if the soil from which that plant is growing is bad, you don't have a hope of having a healthy plant. But to put in the effort of making sure that the earth, the ground is good, well, watch the goodness that grows out from that. The heart is the soil of our lives. Our lives, what grows outwards is from that is how we live. It's always that way around. We don't live a certain way, keep certain rules, do certain outward things, thinking that that somehow is going to make us beautiful on the inside. It's just the other way around for us to be able to own that kind of cleanliness. In the end, our clean living is not about scrubbing the outside whilst allowing what's on the inside to fester and to decay. It's about living from the God image, the spacious, compassionate, grounded, inner, owned identity, rather than from the fearful external that wants to fear and protect and exclude and hold on too tightly. Today's text is encouraging us to tend to the inner life and then to manifest that inner beauty that we are discovering outwards. That's the blessing that we are called to know that we are in Christ and that we are called to live. That's the order. It's as simple as that, this beautiful pearl of insight. Every moment, every conversation, every frustration, every decision, every relationship becomes a chance to respond from the holy, truest self, cleansed self, inside self, rather than from the external frightened self, the impacted self from the externals. This deep, solid, whole inside. Clean living is the quiet daily practice of letting Christ's love shape what flows out from us. What would Jesus do? It's pretty profound for us to be able to own who we are and to live as we are called to be, trusting that God's presence is already within us, inviting us to live our lives out from the rediscovered Christ inside heart that makes us whole. I'm going to end with just three questions for us to kind of chew on in this next week. Where do I notice myself relying on external measures of purity or goodness, rather than going inside in order to tend the deeper truth of my heart? Speaking about how am I allowing my external circumstances so to impact me that they begin to define me, as opposed to allowing the cleanliness of Holy Spirit raining down, impacting who I actually am, my awareness of who I actually am. Not reactive. Initiated in this way. Gospel initiated. Gospel awareness initiated. Second question, how might I gently cultivate a Christ-like awareness of the inner sanctuary of my heart? What can I do to open my mind and my life, my awareness of who I actually am in Christ, so that what flows out of me actually comes to reflect Christ's love and compassion and mercy and wholeness, as opposed to my fears and all that others are the insecurities? And thirdly, how would or how could my clean living express itself in one ordinary moment of my life today? One conversation, one decision, dealing with one frustration. We're about to sing a beautiful prayer. Purify, yeah, my hands, my thinking and all of that, but essentially purify my heart, oh God. I want to be clean, oh God, in my self-awareness and in my behavior in this world that so desperately needs clean, living Christ followers to be making the difference that Christ intends us to be. May we be all of that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Purify my heart. Touch me with your cleansing fire. Take me to the cross. Your holiness is my desire. Breathe your life in me. Kindle the love that flows from your throne. Purify my heart, purify my heart.
What if I could invite you again, for anyone who is around Qualicum Beach and St. Stephen's on Tuesday afternoons, you'd be very welcome to join us at 3 o'clock in the afternoon for a conversation around these questions that we've spoken about, or an opportunity to respond in whatever way you would like to respond to this message here today. There's no right or wrong answers, just a time to be able to share together in a safe and an informal setting. You'd be very welcome. Let's pray together. Dear God, we would love to pray as people who know how clean we are because we've been blessed with an openness of mind and heart to an awareness of Christ within us. But the reality is, most of the time, we get so distracted by trying to keep the front rooms of our lives just so and just right that we forget and we are distracted and we are drawn away from that beautiful inner work of receiving your cleaning, cleansing presence and awareness. Dear God, we would be that. In this world that is struggling with all sorts of muck and dirt and distraction and sin, in a world where people are treated as if they can just be collateral damage in the face of political and social and religious ideologies. We pray for us to be a clean people who could make your difference in those situations. We think of the innocents who are suffering as a result of the wars that are happening in the Middle East and in the Ukraine. We think of what's happening in not only the political world and social, but in the natural world, with the climate change effects that we are having to live, the fires that are happening through our province here in British Columbia and wherever they are happening in the world. The sense of terror and vulnerability that people are feeling because of nature that just seems to be out of control. We own our culpability in all of that. And we pray as cleanly living people to be able to make the difference that you intend, stewards of your land. We pray for wherever there's broken relationships. We think of relationships with the settler communities of Canada and the indigenous people. We pray for healing and for wholeness, that we may become one, even as we acknowledge the differences that we are, your beauty in the complexity of all of you and what we are, that we may be one as you intend. Dear God, we would take a moment to pray for those things that are on our hearts. We think of those in this community who are struggling physically and struggling with grief, the loss of loved ones, struggling because of health issues. We lift Earl up to you and pray for your blessing on his lungs and on his healing. We pray for the blessing on families, children, the elderly. In your mercy, dear God, hear our prayers. I'm going to be quiet, and please bring whatever prayer you have. Now this prayer and all prayers, thank you, dear God, that you hear as we pray in Jesus' name. We would bring this prayer together with the prayer that Jesus taught as we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As we go from this place, and wherever you are, as we go into all of what else is waiting for us in our lives, go with the blessing of knowing who you are. Go with the boldness of being prepared to open the doors of that front room. Let the air in. Let the light in. And let the light come all the way through, exposing the blessing that we are amongst all of the dross that we live with. And as we own that blessing, we go out to be the blessing to others that Christ intends us to be, that they may own it too. And as you do so, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you, remain with you today, now, and always. Amen.
Burn in me. Burn in me. Let the fire of the Holy One burn in me. Burn in me. Burn in me. Let the fire of the Holy One burn in me. Burn in me. Burn in me. Let the fire of the Holy One burn in me. Burn in me. Burn in me. Let the fire of the Holy One burn in me. Your words like a fire, burning in my soul.